It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Friendsgiving. It can be a fun, quirky way to sneak in two or more Thanksgivings every year. Join us as we map the origins and meaning of this relatively young American holiday. Relatively young being true in more than one way. Do you celebrate Friendsgiving, or have you ever heard of it? Maybe you have heard of it and you don't like it. We want to hear from you. If you do celebrate Friendsgiving, how do you do it? Do you have traditions? When was your first Friendsgiving? How is Friendsgiving different from Thanksgiving for you? Do you make different food, or do you have different activities? Do you celebrate it instead of Thanksgiving, and why is that? Do you have any advice for people who may be hosting their first Friendsgiving event this year? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Ashley Fetters is a staff writer at The Atlantic. Her piece is called How Friendsgiving Took Over Millennial Culture. Ashley, welcome to The Morning Show.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Let's start out by asking you, Ashley, if you celebrate Friendsgiving.
You know, I do celebrate Friendsgiving. Thank you for asking. I started to get invites to Friendsgiving pretty regularly, I would say about 3 or 4 years ago. But I think 2016 is when I attended my first one, and last year I hosted one in my home.
So how did this newish holiday come about? What was the genesis of Friendsgiving?
Well, I think the general consensus among the people I spoke to for this story is that it started as sort of an ad hoc celebration among friends when they found themselves far away from family on the day of Thanksgiving. But it seems to have evolved since then into a tradition that a lot of people do before Thanksgiving, or just in addition to Thanksgiving. Some people do it afterward nowadays. But it's kind of a one holiday with friends, the other with family tradition now. And there's a few theories for why that's happened.
Well, could this holiday may have come about because having Thanksgiving with your friends beats having Thanksgiving with your family, because your family stresses you out?
It's certainly a possibility. I think that, it tells us less about why it's so popular just recently, because, you know, families have maybe stressed us out always, but it certainly would explain why people do choose it.
Well, and you don't have to deal with that old Uncle Ralph who always makes the inappropriate joke at the table or whatever.
On a
more serious note here, could some of this be because our families have gotten a lot smaller over time? I mean, you know, we're not having 8 or 9 children anymore, and so there are just fewer family members to get together with on Thanksgiving?
Well, yeah, there are a few different theories as to why this is happening among millennials and why it's happening right now. Obviously, a primary theory is that putting a catchy name on something instantly makes it feel like it's trendier, even if that thing has actually been around forever, like the word maybe like jorts or bromance or other catchy portmanteaus that sort of made their concepts feel suddenly ubiquitous, even though they've been around forever. Another possible reason that Friendsgiving got so popular is that maybe we're just seeing Thanksgiving sprawl into a season rather than a holiday, a single day holiday, the way that, you know, Christmas or sometimes Halloween do. But like you said, I think one of the more compelling theories as to why Friendsgiving is becoming a thing among millennials right now is that it's a family holiday, but what we consider to be our families and what our families look like is certainly changing. I mean, what we know about millennials is that they, as a generation, we as a generation, I'm a millennial, we tend to delay marriage and starting families and being parents into later stages of adulthood than generations prior to us, which, you know, obviously that means more and more of us arrive at a stage in life where we're maybe ready to host our own Thanksgivings or, you know, cook a whole meal that we're very proud of, but the most important people in our lives are our friends.
And for those who've never been to a Friendsgiving, how is it celebrated? Are there specific rituals involved?
One thing that I found when I was reporting out the story is that most Friendsgivings I came across were potlucks. More often you'll see with a Thanksgiving meal with a family that there's like maybe one chef or, you know, two people in the kitchen doing the cooking, a select team of people doing it. But on a Friendsgiving, you're more likely to find everybody you know, gets assigned something ahead of time and brings it on the day of. The other thing that I found to be very fascinating was that it is a holiday that seems very, very dependent on, very fueled by Google spreadsheets or like shared spreadsheets of different varieties so that people can plan and sort of plan around each other in advance so that no one's stepping on each other's toes and you have a well-rounded pre-Thanksgiving meal.
I'm trying to imagine my late mother looking at a Google spreadsheet to decide what we're going to do for Thanksgiving. I shouldn't even try to think that. My head will explode. Well, let's take a phone call here. Nicole is with us in Oconomowoc. Nicole, good morning. Nicole, hello. Well, I think Nicole must be off checking the turkey or something. But I'll tell you what, our technical director, Sarah Hopeful, actually commented this morning that she'd been to more than one Friendsgiving, and she's all over this. Sarah, if you're next to a microphone, jump in here and tell us about your Friendsgiving experience.
Yes, my Friendsgiving was amazing. It was the first time I hosted. I made the turkey, which was a big deal because I never cook meat ever, and I was terrified, but it was delicious and amazing, and oh my gosh, 10 out of 10, would recommend Friendsgivings. It was a total success.
And how many people were at your Friendsgiving?
I had maybe 20 people in my tiny, tiny little apartment, and it was amazing. We had people, you know, sitting on the floor around the coffee table. We made it work. It was way less formal than like a family dinner would be and very chill. Would recommend. Very good.
And was there a football game on?
There wasn't, but we had Vine compilations in the background because we're millennials and we like 7 seconds of entertainment. And then eventually we put on a Yule log video. So really we just had it was the whole package.
This sounds like a terrific Friendsgiving.
Oh, it was incredible.
And Sarah, you went to a couple others, though, too, didn't you?
Yes, I hosted mine on Friday, and then on Saturday I went to Chicago for a different Friendsgiving, and that one was completely different. It was all vegetarian, everyone had different dishes and very different vibe, but still the essence of Friendsgiving and being with, you know, the family you choose instead of the family you maybe are stuck with some days. And it was great, and I did have a friend who attended three last week. So the Friendsgivings are piling up this week for sure.
Awesome. Sarah, thanks. Thanks for jumping in. That's absolutely terrific. Ashley Fetters, Sarah's experience, fairly typical?
Yes, it sounds like a perfect illustration of what people love about Friendsgiving.
Man, I'm starting to feel really left out. I didn't get invited to any Friendsgivings.
You can go to Sarah's next year.
Yeah, maybe. There you go.
Ken,
maybe.
John, you can.
Oh, maybe I'll go to therapy. Let's do a little reset here and ask for some more callers because that's what talk show hosts do. Ashley Fetters is staff writer at The Atlantic. Her piece is called How Friendsgiving Took Over Millennial Culture. And you can join our conversation about Friendsgiving at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email works, although I realize that for some that may be considered an archaic mode of communication. Ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Again, 800-642-1234. Ashley, how much of this is related to the commercialization of holidays? Our holiday seasons are getting longer and longer. Pumpkin spice lattes appeared in August this year. Christmas starts in October. Do we just kind of have this big mashup?
That's a good question. I think you do see holiday sprawl happen, like you were saying. Fall as a reason for celebration really seems to extend into late summer now, and you know Christmas, like you said, begins before Halloween practically. But what I would say differentiates Thanksgiving and its, you know, its extension, Friendsgiving, is that it hasn't seemed to adopt the commercialization of Christmas or Halloween quite yet. One of my favorite people I spoke to for this story was a Thanksgiving historian, someone who had really looked deeply into the mythology and the origins and the tradition of Thanksgiving. And he had told me that one thing that really seems to be special about Friendsgiving is that it really extends without commercializing the holiday, what it's about in the first place, about, you know, creating relationships and fostering them. And it's about inclusion, it's about generosity, and Friendsgiving in that way seems like a very natural extension of Thanksgiving holiday.
Well, I'm a baby boomer, and I've never been to a Friendsgiving. Frankly, I have to admit that until I heard the pitch for this show, I had never heard of it. But my producers, who are all millennials, all observe the holiday. Is Friendsgiving strictly for millennials, or is it only that they're the ones who made it up and they're doing it for now, but maybe the rest of us could catch on to this trend before it dies?
Oh, I think it's very much the latter. I think it's never too late to start doing Friendsgiving. I found it to be really rewarding, and just, you know, it's a second way to celebrate the holiday. Not everybody, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I think a lot of people really love Thanksgiving for what it stands for and for what it means in America and to our families. And, you know, why not celebrate it twice with people that you're very fond of? And what I found too is that it's not just, I mean, I've tended to associate Friendsgiving with people who might be unmarried or might not have children, but I do want to point out that it's not just unmarried people or childless people who are celebrating Friendsgiving. I talked to some folks for this story who have celebrated 7 years, 8 years, kind of early adopters of Friendsgiving, and one woman told me that she and her friend now, a bunch of them have kids, but what they do is they tend to leave their kids home on Friendsgiving.
Well, that actually might be a good thing in some cases. Ashley Fetters stays with us as our conversation about Friendsgiving continues. Let us know what you think about this holiday. Do you celebrate Friendsgiving? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Ashley Fetters, a staff writer at The Atlantic. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. Stay with us. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Friendsgiving is a relatively new holiday that's been gaining popularity in the last few years. While it might be a way to sneak in two or more Thanksgiving feasts every year, it's also a lot more than that. Do you celebrate Friendsgiving? Maybe you've never heard of it, or maybe you have heard of it and you don't care for it. We'd like to hear from you. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. If you celebrate it, what's your celebration look like? You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Ashley Fetters is a staff writer at The Atlantic, and she's with us to talk about Friendsgiving. Let's take another call. We'll go to Karen in Fish Creek. Karen, good morning. Welcome to The Morning Show.
Good morning. Hi. It's really interesting. Friendsgiving is something we've been having for many years up here without even saying it. A girlfriend and myself decided that our families were so blended and interesting, and they included many, many different families of our own children, as well as exes and everybody else. And we're up here in Door County. We have, you know, an interesting season, and there's always a lot of what we call Thanksgiving orphans. So we've been hosting Thanksgiving at the Fish Creek Town Hall and inviting all comers for many years. And so this year, my millennial daughter's like, oh, this is Friendsgiving. And I'm like, really? It's Friendsgiving? Okay, it's Friendsgiving. And so this year we've called it Friendsgiving. And when I heard your show this morning, I'm like, oh, it's really a thing that I don't even know what I'm talking about.
See, now, aren't you glad you tuned in, Karen, so you know that, hey, man, I am really on top of this trend.
Oh, and so not millennial am I. But the truth is I think that's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's like welcoming lots of people, you know, welcoming your community. I mean, that's what the Pilgrims and the Indians were doing, right? Coming together as a community, not just as a small nuclear 1953 family, but as a community, right?
Karen, thanks. Thanks for that. The idea of Friendsgiving, and I particularly liked her term Thanksgiving orphans. Those we've had people like that have been around for a long time. There are always people who don't necessarily have someone, and they often get invited to someone else's family event. But Karen describing something that's been taking place for quite a while. Before I get your comment on that, I want to read an email we got from Amy that's kind of along the same line. Amy writes, in 1997, my college roommate and I hosted our very first Thanksgiving for our friends. This was before the term Friendsgiving. In those days, we essentially threw a party for every occasion, so we had no idea how this particular party would grow and evolve into its own entity that would continue for decades. This past Saturday, we held our 22nd Friendsgiving. About 30 people attended, bringing a dish to pass while we supply the turkey and drinks, and we all give our thanks. It's a wonderful time. So Friendsgiving been around a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, both of those events sound fabulous, and I'd like to go to both of them. So here's something I can invite you to both. But yeah,
I'm assuming my invitation got lost in the mail, but
well, you can come with me. No, I think this sort of I think this supports the theory that the slapping the catchy label on it made it feel a little bit more ubiquitous just in the last few years. It's the portmanteau theory, right? We're in the golden age of portmanteaus, so everything has a catchy little combination name. But like you were saying, I mean, this holiday is all about inclusion. And, you know, from the very start, it was about creating friends, and it was about creating relationships that were meaningful. And as one historian that I spoke to for this story told me, even the first Thanksgiving was aspirationally a Friendsgiving to foster friendships between, the Pilgrims and the Native Americans.
We can't have this conversation without talking about class. You interviewed the author of a book about the world millennials have inherited from previous generation, a fellow by the name of Malcolm Harris. Harris had some pretty stunning things to say about Friendsgiving. He called the holiday a propaganda weapon used by the ruling class to further their plans for wage stagnation. Unpack that one for us.
Yeah, that was a fascinating one. I mean, Malcolm's book is very much about situating millennials in the economic situation that we've inherited, and just sort of how the economy has fostered a generation and sort of influenced our behaviors. And I think what he meant by this is that, you know, slapping a cutesy name on something that is in some cases a like scrappier, more thrown together version of the more lavish Thanksgiving spread is sort of celebrating something that he believes to be inferior to Thanksgiving, and sort of inherently or implicitly approving of millennials' lower status in life or lower living standards. You know, that's not everyone's opinion of Friendsgiving, but I did think I thought that was an interesting way to look at it.
Let's talk about Friendsgiving's namesake, friends. Thanksgiving is traditionally celebrated, or has been traditionally celebrated, with family, often with extended family, in many cases family we don't see very often. For some people, there can be some baggage associated with that, some stress. So is Friendsgiving then meant to be a less stressful alternative?
It certainly can be, and I mean, I think for a lot of people, it is the less stressful alternative to being with family. And I think, you know, it can also just add some variety to the routine. I think Thanksgiving can be a pretty staid holiday. We tend to do the same meal with the same people every year, and Friendsgiving is just maybe a way to sort of vary things. You know, maybe you'll see different people at your Friendsgiving every year. Maybe you'll bring different things that aren't traditionally on the Thanksgiving menu. So I think it complements Thanksgiving tradition in more ways than just that.
Eat large meal, fall asleep on couch watching football game. Check. Got those. Yeah, okay. Let's take another call. Patrick is with us in Madison. Patrick, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Good morning. So we used to do a different twist on this. I'm also a baby boomer. We would throw a get sick of your relatives party. every Thanksgiving and every Christmas. So you go and you hang out with your relatives and you do the traditional thing. And then when you get fed up with them, you get in the car and you go over and you spend the time with your friends at the get sick of your relatives party.
Okay, well, get sick of your relatives doesn't roll off the tongue like Friendsgiving, but maybe maybe that can catch on too. Patrick, thanks for that call. Do you think Friendsgiving, Ashley, is a trend, or is this going to evolve into its own full-blown holiday and with cards and everything?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't have a real, like, holiday Thanksgiving crystal ball in front of me, so it's hard to say. But given the way things are going, I do think it's here to stay, at least for the moment. I wouldn't be surprised if for the next few years we continue to see Friendsgiving dominate our Instagram feeds and our Facebook invites, at least for the next few years.
It might actually crack the top 10 for the Oxford English Dictionary's Words of the Year as well. And it,
oh, wow. That's a great call.
That would be great if it would replace a word like toxic. But I guess what I was suggesting is, how long is it before someone's going to figure out how to commercialize the idea of Friendsgiving, do you think? A matter of seconds,
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm already starting to see more and more publications, especially those that are sort of service-oriented around cooking and around hosting, sort of capitalize on here's how to host your own Friendsgiving, how to be the best Friendsgiving host, how to have the best Friendsgiving this season. So I'm sure it's, like you said, a matter of moments.
And do you think that some of this might be, we mentioned our families are smaller, maybe we go to church less often. There's a lot of the traditions that used to be associated with Thanksgiving just aren't there anymore. Do you think that might be what we're looking at here?
I think that might be it. Yeah, I think that's a piece of it. And I also think, Thanksgiving is so fond to so many people that, you know, there is a theory that I have where, you know, you end up at a stage in life where you would like to be in charge of a Thanksgiving. You've ended up at that point in your life where you can host one and you have all the capacities and the skills and the equipment to host a meal, but you're not really in a position within your own family, or you don't have a family of your own yet to sort of flesh out the tradition in the traditional way. And so I think it creates an opportunity to sort of fill in the framework with friends.
You get to try it out just like Sarah did. Ashley Fetters,
yes.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, John. It's been fun.
Ashley Fetters, staff writer at The Atlantic. She wrote a piece titled How Friendsgiving Took Over Millennial Culture. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.